Well, good morning, everybody. Shall I rearrange something here? Sorry. Don't need this. Well, I have a very important question to ask you up front. And that question is the title of what I'm talking about. And that is, how good are you at listening? No, I'm not going to test you. I mean, I could have given a test exam at the end, but I'm not going to do that. But it's actually been something on my mind for a little while now. Because I know that when I'm sitting with somebody, talking to them, and they're talking to me, I'm not always really listening. And I think I've probably learnt to do that really well. And I'm sure a lot of you have learnt to do that well. You think you are, and you're sort of there for a while, and then all of a sudden you're off thinking something completely different. And I know we all do it. We all switch off a bit, or we're busy thinking about something and we have to bring ourselves back. And I'm not talking about how good we can hear, and I know some of us can hear better than others for various reasons, but how good you are at listening, because it's actually quite different to hearing. So because of this lack of mine that I kind of need to focus in a bit more when people are talking to me and really listening, I went online and thought, look, I'm sure there's ways that can help, you know, lots of things that can help you. And there's many, many, many tests that you can do online to help you to listen. Then you've got to rate yourself, you know. You've got to answer the questions rarely, sometimes, or never. So some of the questions are like, to be more productive, I respond to emails and instant messages while I'm speaking to people on the phone. Have you ever? Emailing, yes. I feel uncomfortable with silence sometimes during conversations, or as I listen, I'm comparing the other person's viewpoint to my own. Sometimes I interrupt. So there's some of the questions that online they would ask you and you had to answer at the end. They'd give you like a point system of how well they thought you were going. Now, from the time we're born, we're encouraged to talk. You know, and that lovely little one's about, well, depends. Our grandson was a little bit late talking. But you're just eager, aren't you? You're so eager to hear that first, you know, whether it's someone like mum, 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 dad, 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 whatever. You encourage children to talk, and we're encouraged from a very early age. But are we encouraged to listen? Our five-year-old grandson, who could probably, you know, I could write a list of funny things that he does and says, but I'm often saying to him, you're not listening. Have you got your listening ears on? Put your listening ears on. So we've got selective hearing. He probably gets sick of hearing me at times. And we do, don't we? We have selective hearing. Sometimes we just kind of tune out for a little while. They're not going to notice. Yeah, catch on to that one. Yep, come back in. Now, when you're really focusing in, though, when you really focus in and listen to somebody, you know that they're caring. You know they're really, really interested in actually what you're saying. And you can sense that. You think, people really care. They really care what's happening. Now, we've just heard Trevor reading through 1 Samuel, chapter 3, 1 to 13. And Will also shared that story very well with the children. It's an interesting story that someone as young as Samuel was to very, very clearly hear his name called. And what was interesting too is it says that Samuel didn't yet know God. So God hadn't really revealed himself very much to Samuel, and yet Samuel heard this voice. So it doesn't matter who we are, we might think we're very in tune with God. God will speak to anybody at any time according to his will. So he chooses to talk to Samuel. He had a pretty important role for Samuel. Not an easy one, but an important role. And his parents, his godly parents, had been praying for him too. But it's a fascinating story. So is God someone that you can hear, that you and I can hear today? Well, the Bible says that he is. And the Bible is one of the main ways often that God speaks to us. How many times have you read a passage in the Bible, you think you really know it well, then someone will get up and speak about it and you'll go, oh, I never saw that. God will speak at different times, but we have to be listening. I think maybe the problem is that often we're not really expecting God to talk to us. No, God wouldn't talk to me, would he? Well, I'm sure that there are some people here that have had God speak to them in various ways. But listening to God actually requires a deliberate choice to listen, like we choose really to listen and take in what other people say. We also need a right attitude when we listen and we receive instruction. And I think God really honours a heart that is fully open to him. But if we stubbornly cling to our own desires, well, we're not actually going to get the message right. I mean, we can read the Bible through and different passages a lot, but if we're not really liking what we hear, if we don't really, that's going to be hard, I don't know if I really like that part, or that's really difficult, we kind of get things confused or muddled. Now, I know that most of you will have played this game, and it's called Chinese Whispers, or the telephone game, they used to call it. Now, I actually was going to do this and I decided against it, but I was going to have a couple of rows of people and I was going to start you off at the beginning and I was going to pass, you had to pass a message on to the end of the row. You had to whisper in someone's ear, and when it gets to the other end, the person has to stand up and say what that person said. And it's never come out the same. In fact, it can be hilarious. So we can get a garbled message if we're not listening very clearly. It can be garbled, it can be confused, and it can be altered. I'm going to give you a demonstration. Well, not really a demonstration, more of a little bit of a something that happened in real life. And so for those of you who have never played this game, you might actually want to try it with your family sometime. If I heard that once during Marine boot camp, I must have heard it 4 dozen times. The outfit was warned against hearing one thing and passing on a slightly different version. Consider the following. This is the colonel. The colonel issues a directive to his executive officer. Tomorrow evening at approximately 2,000 hours, Halley's Comet will be visible in this area, an event which occurs only once every 75 years. So have the men fall out in the battalion area in fatigues, and I will explain this rare phenomenon to them. In case of rain, we will not be able to see anything, so assemble the men in the theatre and I will show them films of it. The executive officer handing the information down to the company commander. By the order of the colonel, tomorrow at 2,000 hours, Halley's Comet will appear above the battalion area. If it rains, fall the men out in fatigues, then march to the theatre where this rare phenomenon will take place, something which occurs only once every 75 years. The company commander to the lieutenant. By order of the colonel in fatigues at 2,000 hours tomorrow evening, the phenomenal Halley's Comet will appear in the theatre. In case of rain in the battalion area, the colonel will give another order, something which occurs once every 75 years. Lieutenant to sergeant. Tomorrow at 2,000 hours, the colonel in fatigues will appear in the theatre with Halley's Comet, something which happens every 75 years. If it rains, the colonel will order the comet into the battalion area. Finally, the sergeant to his squad. When it rains tomorrow at 2,000 hours, the phenomenal 75-year-old General Halley, accompanied by the colonel, will drive his comet through the battalion area theatre in fatigues. Boy, can things get confused. We should never garble God's word. What God's word says is what it says. Absolutely, don't change it. Don't alter it. Don't make it say what you want it to say, because God's word is God's word. So here we have 1 Samuel 3 and verse 9 that says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So what if we approached every day with an attitude of anticipation, making this verse a welcome invitation for the Lord to actually speak to us, to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," rather than, "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking." God does speak to you and me. And there are a number of times throughout my life that I believe God has spoken to me. Not audibly. And I'm sure that there's a lot of you that remember back to the day when you first asked the Lord into your heart. God was speaking to you. He was calling you. There are lots and lots of Bible passages too that that talk, as with Samuel, about talk about speaking, about God speaking. At a conference one day, there was a man who got up, and he was a father of several boys, and he shared a very personal application about this. He said when his sons were small, they often played outside until dinner time, which we used to do when we were young, but we don't seem to do that anymore. And they'd been instructed to remain nearby so that they could come in immediately when they were called. So one day, one of the boys didn't appear with the others in response to the dad calling out. So the rest of the family, they had their prayer, they ate their meal, the table was cleared, and then finally the tardy one arrived and he expressed his disappointment. "Why didn't you call me?" And the father gently replied, "I did, but you were not within calling distance." Have you ever wondered why God spoke to Samuel and not to Eli? It was because Eli had not been faithful in disciplining his sons. He had been more interested in pleasing his sons than in honouring and serving God. And consequently, he wasn't living in fellowship with God. Eli was not within calling distance. How often are we not within calling distance? How many times must God call to us and we're just out of range? And it's never God. We often think God's silent. God's not the problem. The problem is with us. As I said, there are a number of Bible passages that speak about how times that God spoke, and God spoke in, at various times in various means, often very differently, not all in the same format. But there is a number of them, and I'll go through them quickly. And the first one is in Proverbs 2, 1 to 5. And this is speaking about, this was Solomon. So Proverbs 2, 1 to 5 says, "My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord." That's pretty clear. If you treasure my commandments within you, if you make your ear attentive to wisdom, you will discern the will of God. How often do we say, "Oh, we don't know what God's will is"? Then in 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13, we have a picture of Elijah. Elijah was in fear of his life, and he'd run away, and then he'd gone and he'd hidden near a cave, and he heard God's voice. But as we know, God's voice was not in the strong wind, it wasn't in the earthquake, it wasn't in the fire, but it was in the gentle blowing. And it said, "And behold, a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" It was in a gentle blowing. Then in Jeremiah, we look at Jeremiah 32 and Jeremiah 33. Of course, Jeremiah being a prophet, and of course the prophets heard from God all the time. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, 'Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?'" And then in chapter 33, 2 and 3, "Thus says the Lord, who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." This is great communication that God's got here. This is great communication. Isaiah 30:21, and your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left. Have you ever sensed God saying to you, I want you to go this way, not this way, this way? Jesus says, I will show you this is the way. Jesus spoke to the multitudes. He spoke to the multitudes many times. But in Luke 11, 27 and 28, and it came about while he had been saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts on which you nursed. But he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Obedience is coming in here too. We can often hear, we can listen, but do we choose to obey? John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Aren't we his sheep? If we're his sheep, we hear his voice. We recognise it. We know exactly what it is. Hebrews 2, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away. And that's the problem. We hear things, we read things, we know what God's word says, and we come up in a situation in our life and we have a choice. And it might pull us away from God, but we compromise. We compromise. Matthew 7:24 and Philippians 4:9. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And then the Philippians passage says, the things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. So the things we've learned, we've received, we've heard and we've seen, if we practice those things, God will give us his peace. So it comes with a promise. So how do we hear from God? How have you heard from God? I'd like you to ask you that question. Throughout your life, how have you actually heard from God? Yes, we definitely hear from God through his word, and I think that's the way that God communicates with us so much about any topic you can think of. So when we have our devotional time, when I was growing up, we used to call it our quiet time. It's a very significant word because we need to be silent. Silence, I was looking it up again, silence is golden. And silence really can be golden, but we're scared sometimes to be silent. We're not comfortable with silence, but we need to be silent. Hebrews describes God's word as being living and active, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So if we don't hear God's word when we're reading it, it's not because he's silent, but because we haven't learnt to listen. And then there's an inner voice of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the centuries, men and women have testified that they've developed the art of listening to what they describe as that inner voice, that gentle impress of the Spirit that will guide, teach, encourage, love, and even admonish. So thoughts are impressions, senses, we feel it, it's very real. Have you ever felt compelled to call somebody? Have you ever had someone on your mind and thought, I really must call them? And if you don't do it at the time, it'll come back. That's God speaking to you. So, for personal experience, I remember vividly when I was 13 the day that Jesus was speaking to me, calling me to accept him very clearly. Even though I was around a campfire with lots of other kids, the speaker only looked at me. He wasn't looking at anybody else in that circle. God very clearly spoke to me and drew me to him. And you know when you've got times of desperation, of anxiety or fear or grief or sorrow, when you've called out to God and you've just sensed that he's there. A few years back, I actually went and saw a spiritual director a few times, and spiritual directors aren't counsellors, but they're just someone that you go to for some sort of kind of a spiritual chat, I suppose. And the very first time I went and saw her, I sat there and she just looked at me and she said, so what's God said to you today? And I thought, She said, don't say anything, just sit there quietly and you let me know what God said to you. And very clearly, God said, I'm here. I'm with you. I will always be here. And I thought, oh, is that from God? And she said, did you get anything? And I said, well, I just got that God's saying, I'm here. I'll always be with you. And that was it. So I get in the car and I turn on the car, and the first song I hear is actually a song written by someone that a singer-songwriter. She actually leads worship at One Community Church. And she has a CD, her first CD, and there's a song on it called Emmanuel. And so I turn on the car, and the words of the song are, and though our eyes have never seen your face, but still our hearts have known, Emmanuel, you are with us. You are with us, here with us now and forevermore. God spoke to me through a song, through the lyrics and the words of a song. One day when I was at my very lowest, the times when you just think, I don't think I can go on. And I remember driving in my car, and I ended up in the car park down right at the very end, Brighton Beach, right at the end of South Road. And I just sat in the car park, and it was dark. It was a stormy day, you know, the black grey clouds, the sea was churning up. And I sat there and I was desperate. So I just kind of spoke to God and said I didn't think I could keep going on. And I looked up, and the sun shone right through. The clouds just kind of parted. And the sun shone right down, and it shone right across the water, right up to the car. That was God speaking to me through creation in his majesty. I'm sure Andy won't mind me sharing this, but a few weeks ago, Andy was sharing a little bit about his relationship with God. And he said, you know, one day I was working, hadn't been a Christian long, and he said, I was in Dan Murphy's and I was stocking bottles on shelves, and I'd been talking to God in my mind about different things and a bit puzzled about things, and he said, I looked up and the bottles spelt the word faith. And he said, I thought, wow. And he was scared. He said, I was really scared that the God of the universe wanted to speak to me, to communicate to me. There are times that you never forget. I'm sure you've got times like that that you'll never forget those times. If you really listen, God will speak to you. So last weekend, we celebrated Easter. Last Sunday, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday and the glory of that. And it was interesting, I was saying to Craig, Craig mentioned to me this morning, only when he knew what I was speaking about, and he said, oh, when Mary heard the Lord's voice, it's the Master. And I said, yes, I was going to mention that. And I said, since I've thought about this listening to God over the last probably time since David asked me quite a few months ago, I've had numerous people that didn't even know I was going to speak about this tell me about the times that God spoke to them. They felt a hand on their shoulder and there was no one there. They've heard their name. But Mary said it's the Master. She recognised his voice because he wants to get your attention. So what about you? Are you holding off? Are you holding off accepting Jesus into your life because he's calling you? You may have felt it, that call. He's offering you his love and forgiveness. And Revelation 3:20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. We've got a wonderful Saviour who just wants to speak to us, and we need to be silent enough, long enough, to listen to him speaking to us. So I will be down the front later on after the service. So if anyone would like prayer, I would love to pray for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. I feel like responding. How about you? How about we respond in song as we approach the Lord's table this Sunday? Let's stand and sing. Only by grace can we enter.